This is our third Coffee with Cornette series. And my name is Robin Alexander. I'm the chair of Cornette Pittsburgh. And we're thrilled that you're able to join us for our Pittsburgh market update this morning. I'm just going to start off with a few announcements, introduce our panelists, and then let them get started. I'd first like to start off by thanking our sponsors, AE7, First National Bank, First National Insurance Agency, Desmond Architects, Civil and Environmental Consultants, Hannah Langholz Wilson Ellis, and Colliers International. We have another Coffee with Cornette session coming up in about a month on Monday, September 14th. AE7 will be presenting about how companies are handling returning to office and how working through change management as well as changes to design is happening throughout the industry. So please check out that event on September 14th on our website and register. This morning, we have an update on what's going on in the Pittsburgh real estate market. And we're actually joined by two of our silver sponsors, Hannah Langholz Wilson Ellis and Colliers International, as well as the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Paul Horan, a principal at Colliers, has been involved in the commercial real estate industry here in Pittsburgh for more than 30 years. Paul has a focus on office products representing both owners and end users. He was actually a founding principal of Pittsburgh Commercial Real Estate, Inc., originally doing business as NAI Pittsburgh Commercial, which later evolved into Colliers International. Paul's extensive experience in agency and tenant representation has made it possible for him to work on a variety of major transactions in our region. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you, Robin.
Jim Winter is a Senior Director of Corporate Services at Hannah Langholz Wilson Ellis. Jim offers an extensive background in commercial real estate, having begun his career as an accountant at PricewaterhouseCoopers and evolving to the National Director of Industrial Services for Cressa. While Jim was at Cressa, he was responsible for the organization development and management of the industrial brokerage platform for North America. Prior to his time at Cressa, Jim was the director of real estate at Alcoa, handling over 500 leases and 150 million square feet. Welcome, Jim.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Our facilitator this morning is Jeremy Waldrop, the president and CEO of the Pittsburgh Downtown Partnership. Jeremy is responsible for working with the board of directors, stakeholders, and staff to create and implement a vision that ensures Downtown Pittsburgh remains a vibrant and innovative place to live, work, and play. Prior to joining the PDP, Jeremy worked to support economic development in New York City as an assistant commissioner of district development for the Department of Small Business Services. In this role, Jeremy was responsible for the oversight and capacity building for the city's 64 business improvement districts. Thank you, Jeremy, for offering to facilitate, and I'll hand it over to you to kick us off.
Great. Thanks, Robin and Amanda. We really appreciate you guys bringing us together today. Good morning, everyone. Greetings from downtown Pittsburgh. My drive-in was pretty easy. Not a lot of traffic on Bigelow Boulevard. Swept right into my parking lot over in the Cultural District and had, about 50% of the spaces available at about 7:45 this morning. So that's obviously very different. Than one would expect coming into downtown Pittsburgh in 2019. Everybody's life's kind of upended right now. I think we can probably all collectively agree that COVID sucks, right? There's just no way to mince words about it. It's just not a good time for our country for so many reasons. And so I'm excited today, as Robin mentioned, we're here to just talk about the market in general. I know we're all reading the news, local, national, international, and trying to, it's like reading tea leaves out there with respect to what's going on in the market, kind of where sentiments are and where we think things are headed and how long we're going to be here. And I know one of the most frustrating things for me and my team and the folks that I'm talking with is just the uncertainty of kind of where this is headed and how long we're going to be here and when we're going to get back to some sense of normalcy. I do know that two daughters today started virtual learning in their fourth and seventh grade classes. I don't even know what that means, but I do know it's going to have a real big impact on our family and how we function. I just got a FaceTime from my daughter and she's like, where are you? I thought you were going to be here for my first day. And I'm like, no, you didn't listen to me last night. You were too busy. I don't know, playing with your stuffed animals or something, but you know, those are all kind of the new realities that we're dealing with. So I'm excited to have Paul and Jim here, to share some wisdom with us. And, without further ado, let's dig in. So, if you guys are like me, in January of 2020, you were kind of bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with a lot of ambitious thoughts on where you were headed with your work, and where the market was and kind of where you saw some opportunities. So, looking at your perspective of the market and in January, versus your perspective on the market in August, kind of what's changed for you and kind of what are your thoughts, kind of the beginning of the year versus now? Let's start with Jim.
Thank you. I would say that I think at the beginning of the year, everybody was very optimistic. It was going to be one of the best years that we had. We had a lot of transactions in the pipeline. I deal a lot with industrial properties, the sale of the property and so forth, some leasing. I've done a lot of corporate service work also, but I will tell you that at the beginning of the year, it looked like it was a full pipeline till the end of the year, at least. And as time has gone on, mostly with the corporate clients that I work with, as to leasing, they have all kind of put most of their transactions on hold. Or they are doing short-term leases, either 1, 2, or 3 years. You know, typically we would see something much longer than that. I think there are some that are actually doing it, but they're far and few between. And I will also say for the sales that were working at the beginning of the year, most all of those sales are coming to fruition and everything is closing. However, there are a lot of people that are really kind of out there looking for a bargain, looking for distressed properties and what can I find out there that I can get a bargain on, Jim? And I'm like, well, there's a lot, I think, you know, but I do think there's a lot of people on the sidelines also that are just holding off on making any decision to do anything until either there is a vaccine or, you know, things get a little bit better. I'm not, and I'll say this now, and maybe we can talk about it a little bit before, I don't know if the election has a whole lot to do with any of this right now. I just think there's a lot of people that are out there trying to make a determination on how long this is going to last and what's going to be the best avenue for them to pursue.
Thanks. Paul, what are you thinking on that?
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again for the opportunity to speak to everybody today. I think very similarly, you know, going into 2020, we were, you know, all of us here at Colliers were thinking very positively about the market. I know that our team was looking at a kind of a banner year. We were projecting a lot of transactions. Thankfully, the first quarter, we were able to successfully conclude a number of those. But, you know, as a whole, I think going into the year, you know, there was a lot of key economic drivers in our region that were flourishing. And the good news is, we don't think those are going anywhere. So obviously we're talking about the technology and the artificial intelligence and robotics, even the financial institutions in our region really are all thriving. So that created a really good environment going into this year. Everybody was looking forward to a successful year. Of course, March hit, and as Jim noted, it was a screeching halt as it related to transactions that we had ongoing at the time. Most of which literally just hit the pause button. We were, as mentioned, successful with a few to see those through, but the majority by far hit pause. Some admittedly kind of said, you know what, we're not going to do anything right now. To Jim's point, you know, we anticipate that to continue, that kind of wait and see mode. You know, when does that begin to change? Of course, with the vaccine, but we're hopeful that that's going to be a little bit sooner than that. We're sensing here recently that folks are getting a little anxious and tired of working from home, and these Zoom meetings are great. Thanks again for the opportunity, but enough's enough. You know, the collaboration that we all talk about that's so key to the corporate culture, that's real. And we can do this on a Zoom all we want, but it just doesn't satisfy and create the synergies and the energy that really is created with in-person collaboration. So eventually we see that all coming back. But of course, our perception in the beginning of the year, very, very positive. Middle of the year, definitely going to have a little bit of a bump in the road. Transaction activity will slow. But overall, I think long-term, Pittsburgh should fare well based upon, again, the diverse drivers of our economy continuing to flourish.
Yeah.
So, Jeremy, can I add one other thing? And it's probably more of a question directed to you, because with the corporate clients that I have been working with and all the announcements that we've seen lately, you know, if you want to talk about what, you know, a lot of the corporates are doing is they're not going back, you know, Facebook, I could list a number of them. PNC is also one of them that they're not going back until either the first of 2021 or some of them until mid 2021. They're allowing everyone to work from home and so forth. I'm seeing that all across the country, also in Pittsburgh. And if you're in, go downtown, like you said today, not a lot of people walking around, not a lot of activity. Are you seeing the same thing, or are you seeing a little bit different that people are going to come back towards the end of the year?
Yeah. So a couple of questions in there. We are seeing a lot of the same things. We're hearing a lot of the same things. We are starting to see over the last couple of weeks a bit more folks in downtown. We've been running the Thursday Farmers Market for about a month now. And so just using that as kind of a barometer, and they're, you know, people are finding out about it and they're maybe coming to it specifically. But we're starting to see some more folks in there. I have noticed the parking lot getting a little bit more full. We've been talking to building owners. You know, the top that I've heard is about a 17% occupancy in Class A building. The bottom, and this was just a few weeks ago, is still at like 5%. And so I do think that kind of range. And so, you know, downtown Pittsburgh, 110,000 people, 115,000 people on a good busy day. Now we're down to, I don't know, 15,000-17,000 people. So it does feel very, very different. I've been talking to colleagues around the country, and everybody's experiencing the same. No one is really seeing much. I think what we do see are downtowns that have very large residential populations seeming more vibrant than others. You know, luckily we've grown a lot from a residential perspective, but we're still, you know, there's 5,000 people in the triangle. And if you kind of expand out to the greater downtown, there's about 15,000. And it just, given the size and the density that we're used to, it still doesn't feel like there's a ton here. As an organization, we're really thinking about the importance of place and what that does. You know, Paul, to your comments, I mean, that vibe in your office and that kind of camaraderie, you know, how does that play out in the destination? And so when we look at how downtown remains competitive in the future, it really is going to be about kind of the amenities that one can experience. I mean, without culture and sports and the convention center, I mean, those are three critically important things to the success of our city, particularly in the summer when downtown feels a little slower generally anyway, particularly on like Mondays and Fridays as folks take longer weekends. But I think that's going to play an even more important role in the future of downtowns across the country is, you know, how do we ensure that your teams want to come to work? Because there is something about, you know, sitting in your office at home with shorts on and flip-flops and, you know, going to your kitchen whenever you need to. It does feel very different. But, you know, for me, I really miss my team. I really miss that camaraderie. And I miss running into folks on the street and having a chat or seeing someone out at a restaurant or a bar. And so it's like, how do you push that stuff forward and really make more intentional decisions based on that? I'm the panel. I'm the moderator. I'm not supposed to answer, but no, I appreciate that question. So talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing changes, what types of changes you're seeing in deals. You know, our organization, we signed a lease for new space back in May. We're moving in October, which is crazy because now we're like buying furniture, trying to think about what this means, you know, from a socially distanced perspective, and we're looking at plexiglass. But, you know, ultimately our deal was structured back in January. And so the terms really, we didn't budge much. The timeline got pushed a little bit because, yeah, to Paul's point, we pushed the pause button when kind of all hell was breaking loose and no one was really doing much from a transaction perspective. But, you know, pretty much things kind of went back to normal. You know, we haven't had any issues with permitting. That stuff has gone pretty fast, knock on wood. That will continue. So other than our timeline, things haven't changed much. What are you guys seeing with respect to deals that you had either underway pre-COVID or things that have kind of been initiated since the pandemic? And Jim, let's start with you there.
So I would say what I saw was I was working on a number of deals. Most of them were going to be 7 or 10 years. The majority of them came back and said, what we want to do now is stay in place. Can we get a 1-year renewal just so we can see what's happening? They're trying to make a determination on whether or not how much or on how much space they actually need, because with the social distancing, obviously you need more space. But most of the companies that I deal with are now going to allow their employees to work from home 2 to 3 days a week. So therefore, instead of having the large, you know, blocks of space where you might say 190,000 square feet of office space, what they're doing is considering putting pods of space in different areas. So you might have something in the central business district and then something north, south, east, or west, which would be smaller. But these are places where people can actually go and they can touch down. There will be people there from their company, so you can still get that camaraderie. You can go there for meetings or so forth. The feedback that I've heard, and I don't know if you've heard the same, is that lots of people, although for now, working from home because it's been so consistent has been difficult, most people do prefer to work from home a few days a week. You know, they feel like they're more productive. They're not sitting in traffic for a commute. Depending on where you're at, that can be very long or can be short, obviously. But people tend to, since they're working from home, they like that. They get more interaction with their families. They feel like they're doing a lot more being from home and just going to the office when they need to interact in any sort of way. So that's pretty much what I'm seeing. A lot of them are still trying to make that determination. I think we've seen in the Pittsburgh market, you know, there has been a lot of companies that are going to do that because you have UPMC that put 90,000 square feet of sublease space. The Equitable building has a lot of space available in it. I just think people are trying to make that sort of a determination. And quite frankly, for a lot of the clients that I work with, a lot of them have not gone back to the office or allowed their employees to do that. And so they're really trying to decide what the new normal is going to be. If there is a new normal, what that's going to look like.
Yeah. What about rates? Have you seen anything there?
You know, it's interesting. I rates have come down some. I've worked in a market outside of Pittsburgh consistently for the last several months, and their rates have come down significantly. They're telling me there's just not a lot of people in the market right now. So you have a lot of buildings that were under construction that are coming to completion. They have no tenants for them. I mean, there are buildings in Pittsburgh that are complete that are 100% vacant. So I do think that the landlords right now, I mean, for the present time, they've been able to hold off with really giving, you know, a lot of incentives, but I don't think that's going to last much longer.
Gotcha. Paul, same question over to you. What are you seeing?
Yeah, so I think the first comment is we absolutely anticipate and have seen more aggressive deal terms, specific lease terms being offered since, you know, post-COVID. And we expect that to continue. To Jim's point, specifically due to the fact that there's not expected a lot of tenants to be out in the market looking. If they have the ability to kind of stay in place short term, our expectation is that's what they're going to do. Some don't have that opportunity, whether the landlords aren't cooperating, they need less space, they need more space, or it's a new company coming into the region, you know, thankfully. There are a few deals out there, and I can assure you, those that are out there, particularly those that have credit, will be sought after, and we'll see, we're expecting to see concessions that we haven't seen to the extent that are forthcoming. And that's, you know, a number of different ways. Of course, lowering of face rental rates, of course, but you know, a free rent has always been in our market. We expect that to increase. And just as a side note, most oftentimes that's outside of a specific lease term. So if we're talking about a five-year term, it might have been previously a 63-month lease term with 3 months free upfront outside of that term. You know, I would expect 6, maybe even 9 months. Tenants are going to benefit from the limited number of transactions out in the marketplace. You know, Jim's comment about, you know, the number or percentages of workforce working from home and what's expected. Certainly for the short term, it is. As you pointed out, Jeremy, it's, you know, 15% of those employees, 20% of once employees are at the office, 80% are still working from home. We absolutely expect that's going to flip at some time. We just don't know when. I'd like to read something to you guys that I got this morning from a partner that he posted on LinkedIn that I think it's pretty good. It's interesting perspective. Quote, yet in spite of everything, the automation of a solely work from home model is not good to a flourishing company culture. Ginger, a mental health benefits platform, reported that 70% of employees are less productive at home than at work. Another recent study showed that more than 80% of Generation Z and millennial employees feel less connected to their coworkers since transitioning to work from home. Companies are finding that 100% remote workforce is not a sustainable answer as struggles begin to show through cracks in areas of like collaboration, onboarding. We know onboarding is a major issue, and team management. In short, offices will still need to exist to foster the idealization and collaboration that serve the foundations for company and team culture. Kind of just what we talked about earlier. And then it was posted by my partner, Ed Lawrence, this morning. I thought it was you know, it makes a lot of sense. So yes, we expect concessions. They're going to continue. Those deals that are out there are going to be chased, and tenants can take advantage of that. So
on the
investment side, Jeremy, you know, definitely there's instability in the capital markets. You know, this is due to lenders' uncertainty of future projected rents. You know, at best, I think rents are projected to remain stable. And there's even a concern that they might dip a bit. You know, over time, of course, operating expenses increase. If your income's flat or going, you know, down, your net income's going to be reduced, and therefore the values are going to be reduced. So, you know, appraisers are projecting somewhere between 2 and 5%. To me, I think that's on the conservative side of values going downward over the next 12 months. So, you know, unless you're a core Class A asset that's stabilized, you know, investors, they're sitting on the sidelines. As Jim pointed out, there's capital out there. Unless it's that core stabilized investment, it's unlikely. You know, the former value add, you know, that incented a lot of buyers into our region, the lending institutions just aren't there. It's they're staying away from those transactions right now. So we think that the investment side will kind of coincide along with the leasing activity. So next 12, 18 months, it's likely to be not great.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Hey, since I'm the downtown partnership guy and I have you two experts here, talk to me a little bit about your thoughts on the downtown market. You know, obviously the fringe, the strip district specifically, seen a lot of growth, a lot of new construction. Been the belle of the ball with respect to tech firms and kind of the growth there, you know, somewhat to the detriment of downtown. We've seen some firms relocate into the strip district. Also, we have a lot of older office stock here that's just not as sexy and as appealing to some of these younger technology firms. You know, couple that with, frankly, you know, not a lot of job growth in the region. Outside of the technology space, and downtown's market has been soft over the last 18 to 24 months. Talk to me a little bit about that, and you know, where you feel downtown's priorities should be to make sure that it remains competitive and strong, because it is the majority of the office market. You know, so goes downtown, so goes the market. You know, I've heard that countless times.
Paul, why don't you go first this time?
Sure, Jim. So, you know, the downtown market, you're right, has been struggling over the last, you know, 18 months or so. It's definitely seen a downturn in demand. How do we change that around? What might we do? What are the concerns? I think there's one opportunity for downtown created by COVID potentially, and that is, you had mentioned, Jeremy, the older stock, and oftentimes that older stock has smaller floor plates and not as tall as, you know, the newer trophy listings. So they're smaller in size, less populated with individuals. Tenants maybe have the opportunity to control a floor that they have their own, so they control their own restrooms and clean their own restrooms. So we do expect that the Class B submarket, which admittedly has been struggling, again, particularly those that are smaller in size, smaller floor plates, kind of the boutique building, if you will, the 10 to 12,000 square foot floor plate, has an opportunity to market themselves as post-COVID friendly because you can control your own environment. And maybe you don't need to go on an elevator with a bunch of other folks. You might be able to run up the steps to the fourth floor to your space. So that's an opportunity, we think. Certainly the announcement of Target was a huge one. You know, we think more announcements like that are critical. And obviously right now with what's going on, the restaurant scene and the retail services in the CBD is, you know, are closed like everybody else. And I think if there's some way that we can work with our restaurateurs in the city, we should. And I don't know what that means necessarily, but I am concerned, Jeremy, like you pointed out, when we eventually do get back to work, if there's nobody providing the amenities, the food and the drinks and the arts that previously they had, there is going to be a problem. There won't be that as much desire or demand to be in town as before. That said, one continued element that we expect is that the younger population, the millennials, will still want to be located in or close to the downtown Pittsburgh. So we know those drivers, of our economy, the technology firms, et cetera, are all out there searching for the new talent. You know, they previously utilized, they will continue to utilize their space as a differentiator. You know, back when Jim and I started in the industry years ago, that wasn't necessarily the case. It was more bottom line driven. We saw it evolve into using one's space as a talent attraction and retention tool. That's going to continue. The fact of the matter is downtown provides a lot of product, as Jim pointed out, and as I pointed out, with great values. Those areas that are getting the attention now, the strip districts, the Lawrencevilles, the, you know, East End areas, are going to become saturated at some point. The rental rates are going to eventually get to a point where not everybody can afford them. That's when I think Pittsburgh has a great advantage. You know, secondly, I know that we in Colliers Pittsburgh have made a concerted effort to go out to our much larger markets, other Colliers brothers and sisters, to reach out to top producers and their clients and say, have you considered Pittsburgh? You know, we all know the story of somebody putting a billboard out in Silicon Valley of a 4-bedroom house in Pittsburgh that just sold for $275,000 on an acre and a half. And you know, they're in Silicon Valley, come to Pittsburgh and you can have this for $275,000 and a great tech job. You know, basically saying, look, guys, we need to spend some time to lure those companies that aren't here yet to come to Pittsburgh and have satellite offices in Pittsburgh, taking advantage of our intellectual capital that's coming out of our great universities and our great product that's here, a lot of it. So yeah, I think it's a combination of saturation of those areas, taking advantage of quality values, and going outside of this region to attract new companies to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Thanks, Paul. I agree with everything you said there. I think, you know, looking at the competitive nature and kind of our advantage here in downtown, I mean, it is kind of access. I continue to think about it. I live in the East End and I've seen traffic just exponentially grow. Yes. And sitting on Baum Boulevard or Center Avenue, like there's nowhere to go. There's not a lot of throughput and, you know, there's no mass transportation really. There's a couple of bus lines. That's where I see downtown too. just as those markets become more saturated. And the same with the Strip. I mean, there's two roads really that get you in and out of there,
right.
You know, and some bridges. That's what you got. Downtown certainly has more options there. So we look at that as big pluses. Jim, what are your thoughts? I know, you know, you mentioned kind of safety and security as being some of your thoughts about downtown. But overall, kind of, what are your thoughts on the market generally here in downtown?
So, you know what, I would tend to agree with Paul. I don't necessarily, I don't know how long this is going to be. Of course, nobody does. I do think it's going to be protracted, if you will, because Pittsburgh was already hurting in the CBD as it relates to, you know, occupancy and so forth. So I think that's going to continue. I think one of the things that we have to look at is, again, Paul said the amenities. I agree with that. You know, when you look at Market Square as an, you know, as an example, and all the things that are provided there. Now, if you're taking out the restaurants and putting in, and I'm not picking on any industry, but you put a bank in, which a bank is already there, who's already taken over a restaurant. I mean, I'm not sure that's the right thing to do. Obviously, as an owner, you know, you want to be able to lease your building at the highest price possible. I get that. I understand that. However, it does take away from the atmosphere that people want to experience or have a downtown experience, if you will. I don't think there's going to be any issue with the Strip, Lawrenceville. I mean, that's going to continue for the foreseeable future. I do think Paul's right. It will saturate at some point. However, I don't know if that means they will come back into the CBD, because there tends to be a trend right now, as I said before, going further out into the suburbs and having sort of these pods of places where you can actually touch down. Now, I did see something that was kind of interesting yesterday, that there is an opportunity for a lot of these buildings that could be either be Class B or Class A buildings. If people are tending to put sublease space out, there is an opportunity for different companies to be sharing space that are there, and that you could be able to do some things with the conference centers and so forth. And so that, you know, you don't have to have 100,000 square feet or 200,000 square feet. You can probably live with 100, and then you can have shared space in other places of the building, which other corporate tenants can use also. So that's kind of like the WeWork type of thing, which I don't know, WeWork has its own issues, if you will, or shared space has its own. But I do think that there are a lot of opportunities in what's existing, because you do want, again, I'm going back to the experience. A lot of people like that downtown experience.
Yeah, I would agree. We have a few more minutes here, not much longer, but I thought we could take a couple of questions from the audience. Does anybody have anything they want to ask Jim or Paul or myself? I think you can unmute yourself. I believe you have the capability to do that.
Hey, it's Robin. I'll jump in. Jim, you mentioned WeWork, and I'm curious about, Jim and Paul, your thoughts about co-working in general downtown. I mean, for a while, co-working was the hot new thing, and there was a new co-working space opening up, it felt like, every month. And I'm just curious what you're hearing about that trend. Do you anticipate some contraction there?
So I would say yes, I do think that there's going to be some contraction. I do think that, you know, people tend to be a little bit nervous about working close by anybody. I mean, you can put up, you know, a shield or whatever the case may be. But in talking to some different companies, what they're telling me is that people are now taking more space, if you will. So when you would go in, you know, as an individual, you might take a desk. Well, now there's a trend to take an office instead of a desk, right? So that you don't have to be out in the open and share the space with everyone. You know, years ago when I started, everybody wanted their own office, right? Well, there's a good reason for that. You can shut the door and, you know, you don't have to be subject to everything that's out there. I think there is going to be a trend towards that. I haven't seen, and I don't know, Paul, if you have, but with a lot of the shared space companies that are out there, they're not expanding like they used to. I mean, I think that expansion has slowed significantly. And I think that has to do a lot with all the bad press that WeWork got too. I mean, they expanded too much, taking over these buildings and then not having tenants, you know, not being able to keep them open, if you will, during a pandemic. I mean, which, you know, has cost them a lot, you know, they're losing money right and left. I mean, you can't do that for long periods of time. So I do think you're going to see a trend towards, you know, not having the shared space.
Paul, any additions to that?
Yeah, I would agree with Jim in that, you know, certainly the co-working space as a whole is not where it had been. And I would expect that that would continue to shrink. And that said, I do not see a scenario where it's going away. The flexible workspace in specific areas, you know, what comes to mind, we're talking about WeWork, you know, that's maybe a bad model because of how they went about it. You know, maybe more locally, we can talk about someone else that's kind of ebbed and flowed. But right now, I think they're in a good spot, and that's the beauty shop. And that's a scenario. And there's another one here in town that they own their own property, and then they provide the service. That's something I think you could manage a little better. And depending upon where you locate, in the beauty shop's case, in the East End in Lawrenceville, where these young entrepreneurs maybe initially are only a couple of people strong, and they're looking to be collaborative and that kind of a vibe where, you know, I think that WeWork was kind of geared more towards a corporation that, okay, we have an office, let's take a chunk of space and instead of and have the flexibility of a shorter term, but you're going to pay a little bit more. I think that model's going away, but I do expect that, you know, the co-working concept not to go away with entirely. I continue to anticipate a demand for that. And again, in specific sectors of one city, in our case, I think, again, the East End specifically.
Yeah, I think it's just to piggyback off of that. You know, we often talk about here in Pittsburgh being a little late on the trend. And this is one of those things where I think we lucked out, because if you look at like a Denver where there's hundreds of thousands of square feet of co-working space that now is sitting empty, with, you know, COVID concerns and, you know, lack of interest in sharing, you know, it's likely not going to move anywhere. And I know we were looking at those markets internally and saying, oh man, we're just lagging behind on this co-working space. What is the deal? And now it's like, wow, thank God. Right. We don't have to deal with that mess. It's not an issue for us.
Right.
I wanted to get your thoughts on kind of what is like that. Do you have a kind of half crazy prediction when you lay down at night and you're like, man, this is such a weird world that we're living in? Is there anything where you're just like, you know, this could actually happen? This is half crazy. But, you know, if you look at the real estate industry here in Pittsburgh or even nationally, are there any thoughts that you're just like, man, if this occurred, this could be a boon, or, oh my God, this scares the crap out of me. Any kind of half crazy predictions out there for you, Paul or Jim?
You know, I don't know about crazy predictions necessarily. Jim touched upon it I don't even know if it's a prediction because it's happening. And I do think, you know, you mentioned, or I'll mention that, you know, our suburban submarkets over the last X number of years, and I'll pick the Parkway West because it has the most inventory. And, you know, I personally have a lot of experience out in that submarket over the years. And over the years, it always was a very strong submarket. You know, more recently, not so much. It's been a really up and down submarket. And I think, you know, recently in the last year, it showed some positive absorption with some things that Mr. Scallo's doing. So hats off to him. But specific to the point, those companies that have, you know, a major presence, we'll say in town or somewhere, and instead of being all in one location and 300 people strong, where again the contact and your employees' wellness might be concerned, the idea of satellite offices, to Jim's point, creating a much smaller presence, we'll say in town, to maintain that, but then provide smaller options that don't necessarily have to rely on public transportation. If you have a car, you can drive and park for free in your lot of a suburban built office building. So I do think there is that opportunity. And again, God forbid to the downtown submarket, but there is an opportunity in the short term, particularly for the suburban markets to take advantage of those that maybe are concerned about being in a 60-story building and getting on an elevator or an escalator that siphons all up into one. So, you know, admittedly, you know, we're targeting those types of tenants right now for our suburban clients. Again, I see that as a short-term fix because we really believe strongly that ultimately downtown's going to come back. And you know, it's as you pointed out, Jeremy, it's central to everything. It's easy to get to. And it's so vibrant down here. It's where everybody wants to be. The young professionals that everybody's battling over to hire, this is where they want to be. So it's, we're going to head up bump in the road, but it'll come back.
Yeah. I think one thing we haven't talked about is just the downtown residential market. We're going to be releasing a report later this month, just kind of on where that sits. But, you know, it has remained really steady. Occupancy rates are still really high. Rents, they're relatively flat, but there's been quite a bit new product come on in the last 12 months. So I think it just speaks to the strength of the market overall. And you know, there's a couple of big projects in the pipeline, so we're going to still continue to see that transition. You know, we mentioned this earlier, but to your point about the satellite office, I was shocked at how quick that transition was over to digital meetings and Zoom and how seamless it has been for our office, which, you know, we're a small nonprofit, but, you know, it was very easy for us to just kind of kick over. And so that will kind of factor into location decisions, I think, forever now, because there's no longer this huge reluctance to getting on a camera and being on your computer and talking to folks like there was before. I mean, I maybe had a handful of Zoom meetings, and most of the time it was someone, you know, way far away that it just didn't make sense for this meeting to occur. And now, you know, I don't know, I have Zoom meetings with someone down the hall because we don't want to have masks on. So it's kind of stupid, but it's happening now. Jim, what are your thoughts on this?
I guess I am going to say, I think that we are underestimating what this is going to do to the CBD or the downtown market. I do think that, you know, there's an opportunity for more affordable housing. And I think that's something that needs to be done. And that's something that has been lacking for quite some time. I think if you have affordable housing, it brings people, it brings businesses, and it really adds to the vibrancy of the business. I do think that companies have found, like you said, people working from home. And, you know, I know what Paul said about the recent, you know, there's a whole lot of surveys that go on and how productive people are at home and so forth. But I do think a lot of people have found that working from home really isn't that bad. I think people thought that people weren't doing their work. I think they are working from home. I think they're being more productive than they thought they could be. And so this is going to be something that is, we're going to see in the long term, and it will affect, you know, your office space in the CBD. It's going to be, I think people will take less and less space. That doesn't mean the more companies won't come in and take less space. But I do think that overall, you're going to see your corporates taking less and less space and really distributing that out throughout the district area and not just into the CBD. But, you know, you brought up the thing about security also, and I just am curious as to, with Pittsburgh and with a lot of other cities, it has been a concern. And, you know, with the demonstrations and things that have happened recently, I think some people have a hesitancy now to go into the city, and that's going to have to be corrected. I mean, in some way, shape, or form in the future. So what does PDP think about that?
Yeah. So we're talking to folks, you know, on a daily, hourly basis for the most part about that. Overall, the kind of crime rates in downtown are lower than normal, just because I think there's less people down here. But there is, because there's less folks who are experiencing substance abuse issues, are experiencing homelessness, you know, they're very, very obvious. And frankly, we're concerned about where the economy's headed, and that we could see an even more significant increase. So we are frankly demanding that the county engage with their service providers to really develop a strategy. I have a walkthrough with a lieutenant in a couple of hours. We're just going to start doing this on a regular basis of what are we seeing, where is it occurring, and how can we help, and what services are really needed. Because I think what we've learned from a lot of this is policing is not the only answer. You know, we have to have more tools in the toolbox than some guy with a gun coming and trying to correct an issue of substance abuse or mental health disorders. And so we have to better equip these officers to to address the challenges that they're experiencing on the street because they're not equipped for it currently. So HN's making a significant investment in some new outreach services in downtown. They're starting hiring this month for that, and it will have a big presence in downtown. Our hope is that the economy doesn't go where some folks are predicting, particularly for those folks who are in most need. I think we have to figure out what's happening from this unemployment benefits perspective, because I do think, you know, there's a lot of folks teetering there, and that will play out on the streets. I think, to your point, there is a ton of concern. There's a lot of really smart, dedicated people working on this, but there's a ton of work to do. And we're likely going to be turning to the corporate community as well to help us kind of figure out and fund these efforts. Because, you know, we've been extremely lucky in Pittsburgh. We don't have nearly the issues that many, many cities of comparable size have. And the bigger cities, you know, much, much worse issues. So, I think we have the mentality here to kind of help one another out and figure out these really challenging, complex issues. And I think there's a good group of people committed to doing it. Great. I think that's it, folks. We told you we'd get you out of here at 9:45. It's 9:47. Robin, you need to take us out, say any parting words. Thank you, Jim and Paul, for joining today. We really appreciate your time and expertise, and good to see many of your names and some of your faces from participants. So I miss you guys. I want to run into you in Market Square, so come to the farmer's market on Thursday.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Yes, it was. Thanks for the opportunity, everybody.
And Jeremy, I just want to thank you as well. Thank you for facilitating the conversation and for your commentary from the downtown partnership perspective. It's a unique point of view that you have. So thank you for sharing that with us. And thank you, everybody, for joining today. If there are any additional questions that you didn't have a chance to ask, feel free to reach out to me or post them on LinkedIn, and we can get them to the right folks. And enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Thanks again for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.